Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, a haunting in Washington. In 2010, June Matthews moved into her perfect home just north of Spokane, Washington, with her husband. At first, the house seemed like everything she ever wanted. Only a few odd notes that could clearly be fixed. Ignoring the strange feeling that she got in the basement and not being believers in the paranormal, the couple purchased the home and began their new life behind its walls. Was this the start of a haunting in Washington? Things started going very wrong. Unexplained noises in the nights, doors and drawers opening on their own, and eventually voices of the dead haunting them as they tried to sleep. They both very quickly became believers in the paranormal and accepted the fact that they lived in a very haunted house. But it all had to start somewhere.
When my husband and I first saw the house, we thought it was beautiful. It was everything that we had wished for. And amazingly, never really got a creepy feeling, except that when we both had gone downstairs, later we found out that we both felt that the downstairs area was really creepy. Mm-hmm. And, but other than that, I mean, we didn't really communicate about it. And other than that, it was perfect. It was beautiful.
Other than it being creepy, I mean, expound upon that a little bit more for me. Was it just kind of the creepy feeling of, oh, this is a new building I've never been in? It's a basement. Sometimes basements kind of have that feeling. Or was there more to it than just the average, this is a dark room type situation?
It's a half open basement. Mm-hmm. So that when you go downstairs, there's a front door and windows. And then, so the whole front is open, and the other side is partly underground. And the easiest, best way to explain it, it was like walking into a tomb. It was cold. It even though it had carpet and, you know, it was freezing cold, and it just felt like a cement tomb. Mm-hmm. It gave you the chills. When you walk downstairs, sometimes to this day, the hair on the back of your neck will stand up.
So you have this feeling in this basement, but the rest of the house is feeling pretty good to you.
Yeah, there was a couple things, like my closet upstairs is where the attic entrance is, and I was in the closets. They're like little walk-in closets, and I was in there looking around, and this like really cold, it was like cold air, but I would have to say it'd be more like if a cold hand slapped you very lightly on the face. Mm-hmm. And I figured maybe there was a draft coming from someplace, but there never was. So you
had these feelings. Were these feelings things that you experienced prior to purchasing the home, just when you're going through it, or were these things you started to really kind of notice once you were starting to get settled there?
Well, I never, ever believed in the paranormal at all.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have even gone there. I wouldn't have, I thought the cold air in the closet was something we would have to repair. And I thought, downstairs, we're going to put some paint and we're going to decorate it and get rid of the ugly carpet. It's going to be beautiful. And then it won't feel so creepy.
So there was nothing there that was making you think, oh, there's something paranormal going on. Everything had a rational explanation and an easy fix of some sort.
Yeah, the only room that we thought was unexplainable, but I didn't think we weren't going to the paranormal at all. But one of the rooms, I don't even know what it is. It's there's no window. It's four walls and a door, and it had a hospital TV stand on the wall. You know, like one of those old-fashioned hospital TV stands. Mm-hmm. And then on the opposite side where you might be putting a bed, there were these boards on the wall, cemented and bolted to the wall. But the previous owner didn't just bolt these things. He actually cemented them. We can't get them off without replacing the wall.
Wow.
And I don't even understand what the hell that would be for.
Yeah, I mean, some very odd things. But if you're liking the rest of the house and you don't believe in paranormal at this point in time, you're just thinking, well, it's stuff we can get rid of or fix or take care of, you know, over time. It's not anything malevolent or ominous. Okay. And that's, I think, a very important thing in your story is understanding what the mindset is at any given point in the story. And at the beginning, even though many others may hear this part in the start and go, oh, my God, you know, I'm feeling this way, that way. Why would you go into this house? Because there's an explanation for everything in your mind at that point that is very fixable.
Yeah.
So you get into the house, you start unpacking, you start beginning to make this house a home. How does that go?
My husband had taken a job. That's why we moved here. So within the first 3 days, he had to take his first trip. And so he'd be spending, a week away from home. And so here I am. It's 3 days after we moved to a new state in a rural town, can't see a human being, a car, a house. I'm all by myself except for my animals, and he's left on his trip. And I'm trying to, you know, not be nervous. And our movers were going to be another week before they got here with our stuff, but we had brought some stuff ourselves. So I was unpacking boxes, and we brought, you know, just a few dishes and things to get us by. And I'm washing them off, and I heard my husband come back in the front door. I heard his keys. I heard him walking down the hall. I had soap all over my hands, and so I'm rinsing off the soap, trying to find a towel. I whip around to give him a hug, and as I'm turning, I said, you know, oh my God, you can't stay away from me, can you? And there's nobody there. But I was so shocked because, I mean, I heard him. I heard his keys. I heard the door. I heard him walking. And then I just knew he was behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you just know somebody's standing right behind you.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you how shocked I was when I turned around and he wasn't there. And then I checked all of the upstairs, checked the front door, it was locked. I was looking around, couldn't understand. I went back to the sink, turned the water on to see if the water hitting the dishes would sound like keys. And I was trying to explain it and understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, further into that day, anyway, my husband had never come back. And further into that day, I heard knocking. First a knock on the door, and it was like 1, 2, 3, like a human would knock.
Sure.
We have a lot of animals here, and we have woodpeckers and all kinds of things. But this was like a human knock, and so I'm not just going to go open the front door, but I you know, looked through the windows. There wasn't anybody there. I eventually did open the door. There wasn't anybody there. And then I thought, you know, the house is settling. But then about 5 minutes after that, there was a knock at the bathroom window. And that really scared me. Yes. I thought, if this is a human being and they think it's okay to walk around my house and start knocking on the windows, you know, I could be in trouble. This is weird. But I get to the bathroom, and meanwhile, I have these dogs and cats, but the dogs are barking, reacting to the knocking. And so I'm believing this whole time this is a human being, and get to the bathroom, there's nothing. I'm in the bathroom, I hear knocking at the kitchen, and I must have just looked like a crazy person going back and forth from room to room trying to locate who's knocking on my house.
Sure.
And there's never anybody there.
So at the end of this episode of trying to determine who is knocking on your window, what conclusion do you come to, or do you even come to one?
We are gun collectors, so I got those ready.
Okay.
Had quite a few guns out, and I didn't really know what to expect. I never thought of something. It's still, to me, the idea of it being some kind of paranormal entity, that was ridiculous to me.
Sure.
So, and also to me, much more frightening would be the idea that this is a human being who is trying to see if maybe there was even somebody in here. When we came the very first day that we came here, it was 31 days after the first time we saw the house. And when we first saw it, it was really clean and pretty. And the minute we walked in, this place was unbelievably filthy with fingerprints and this brown goo that was everywhere. And mud was every place. And we thought maybe the house had been vacant for a long time. So maybe people were coming in here and partying and... And that's what I thought. Maybe there's somebody who hangs out at the house and they're trying to see if anybody's in here.
Sure.
And that's all. And to me, that was really terrifying.
I mean, that would be extremely bizarre. I mean, when you looked at the home, I'm assuming it did not. It was in much more of a presentable state. And then
it was beautiful.
To get there, and then to have all of that there. I mean, when you did that, I mean, I'm assuming you had worked with a real estate agent. Did you contact the agent to say, what's going on? What happened to this house between us seeing it and us moving in?
Much like a Lifetime movie, as crazy as it sounds, our real estate agent passed away.
Oh, my God.
This was the last house she ever showed. And she passed away. We couldn't believe it. I mean, I'd planned to have coffee with her. You know, she felt bad for me because I didn't know anybody here. And I'd be spending a lot of time alone in this house. Mm-hmm. And we found out that she'd been flown back to California or flown to California because she was so ill, and her son was a doctor in California. So they flew her to California, and she died. So by day three, I believe, she had already passed away. Prior to that, we weren't allowed to talk to the previous owners. There was all these rules that, I had a lot of questions.
Sure.
So I was trying to contact our real estate company and have somebody go to their realtor and ask her, like, where's the manual for the water heater and the oven and, you know, how do you run any of this stuff?
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks
and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.